Good morning, Gloucester. We got a special Gloucester cast for you Sunday morning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 participants. And we have a theme. I like the theme things that we've been coming up with. This week's theme is folks, younger folks, that couples that have moved to town. And we're going to get their perspectives. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited to meet everybody.
Yeah, Kim Smith. What is that? Kim Smith is here.
Kim Smith.
Mrs. Grumpy
Good
Pants.
Mr. I like being Mrs. Effervescent.
I know you do.
Mr. Grumpy Pants.
Go ahead, guys. Right around.
Aaron Rooley.
Sam Rooley.
Kimberly Sheets.
Bradley Sheets.
Jessica Brand.
Lucinda Seidel.
Rich Bean.
And Rich Bean. Rich Bean's like almost a regular now. Like this is like 2 out of 3 for you or something like that. Yeah. But we got, so for the people that were totally invited for this thing, I'm happy everybody's here. But we had like, I have a couple questions for you. And we'll start with each couple and we'll talk about this. First, what I'd like to know is what specifically brought you to Gloucester? And what were some of the preconceived notions you had about Gloucester that were spot on? And what are some of the things that you coming here, when you were thinking about coming here, that were like just totally off base of what your preconceived notions was? We're gonna start with the Rooleys.
As a little background, Sam is actually from the area.
Mm-hmm.
We settled here in 2001 in Rockport,
mm-hmm.
and we moved to Gloucester in 2006. It was really the trash pickup and the access to having a gas stove that drew us in the lower taxes from Rockport into Gloucester.
Where were you from?
I grew up on the South Shore.
Okay. Was it a coastal community or was it?
Milton.
Is that a coastal community?
No, it's okay. Not. It's right outside of, right near Quincy and Canton.
Oh, is that what Curry College is?
Exactly.
All right, exactly. My cousin went there.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. For wildlife, we have squirrels.
There you go.
And
it's beautiful there, though, right?
It is. It yeah. is. It's close to the city.
Yeah.
I fell in love with the area when Sam and I started dating in 1997. There's so fewer people here than the South Shore. There's less traffic. The beaches, I think, are more accessible. And they remind me of the beaches in Maine with the dunes and the soft sand. So I just thought it would be a great place. You can go out and go for a walk, you can go to the beach, you can go to the woods. I think moving from Rockport to Gloucester, Gloucester's a bit more city-ish than I think I thought it would be when we first moved up.
More urban?
More urban. Mm-hmm. More urban problems, I think. I think I've gotten to know the area a lot slower than other people because my family's still on the South Shore and I work in Boston every day. So really, I'm here mm-hmm. on the weekends, and on vacation we go away. So, you know, and I've definitely seen it change over the years. I think there's been some really great things, like a lot of the arts and culture and the new restaurants and the Harbor Walk. But riding the train, it's become a bit more urban.
With what, commuter? The commuters?
I think
the type
with
of people?
The commuter rail, yeah. Commuter rail. It's different. I think there's fewer younger people. You know, really happy that Kim is on the commuter rail now. I think we need more young professionals on the commuter rail again. A lot of people just get tired of the commute and they move.
Oh, okay. I can't imagine like driving into Boston every day because it's like the parking is bananas. The price of parking.
I've never driven into Boston. I've been commuting in there on and off since 2001. I've always taken the train.
Oh. Yeah, you need a place to park.
Oh, yeah.
My father actually commuted into Boston for 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
And he got used to it. You get used to driving, but you just need a place to park when you're in there.
Right.
You
From
work
Rockport?
For Children's Hospital. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there last night with one of my guys. You know, early 90s, when I used to go into Boston with my buddies and stuff like that, at night and stuff, you could find parking and stuff like that. Like, I felt like I could go into Boston and you could afford to park and stuff like that. I feel like today, it's just too prohibitive to take a car into Boston. It's like the commuter rail seems like so much better of an option.
You have to really scrounge to find a parking place.
I think they've made so many more places resident only than used to be, or taken away spots or whatever.
Yeah, that's for sure in the Back Bay.
Yeah, I agree. And you got to find a parking garage. And there's little parking garages everywhere.
But they're crazy money.
They're really hard and they're expensive too.
Like 2 hours, $20, and boom. Like a big pound in the forehead.
But I was saying to everyone before we started that I think we always come off as being new to the area because Sam works out of town. I work out of town, and we don't have kids, so we don't know anybody. Mm. So we're good.
Well, that was part of the reason, but that I selected the group that I selected, because you guys are all kind of friends of the blog. Yeah. You know, submitted stuff.
Meet people either at work or through kids. So.
Right, I feel like it would be a nice group to get together and like maybe go out for dinner one night or something like that. We'll bring that up in a little bit. We'll bring that up. And okay, the sheets.
All right,
is it me?
Yeah.
So wait.
I want to explain the story about you. How you guys came out? You submitted. Was it you, Kimberly? Or was it Bradley?
Yeah.
Submitted a long time ago. That
we got engaged.
That you got engaged.
On Pavilion Beach.
Yeah.
Someone happened to be on the beach with a camera and took a picture of us, and so we have an amazing engagement photo.
A photographer, but not a professional photographer. She had all her stuff there, and she watched the whole. I mean, I got her with a ring on the sand, and come over, look what's this, and I totally got her. And there was a couple photographs about that.
Yeah.
So we blogged that. That was August 2012, and then we eloped in October 2012, two years ago, last month on Niles Beach. And we blog that.
Right, and you blog that, and then you blog like, hey, we're finally residents.
Yeah.
It's like we're following the progression of the sheets.
Yes.
Like this amazing progression. Like I love it, and I love to get, you know, I love following this, to, you know, especially people that kind of follow the blog and stuff like that. So, what were your preconceived notions of Gloucester and differences between what the reality has
and
been?
And where did you come from?
Sure. Yeah, we relocated from Waltham. I'm from Jersey originally. She's been in Boston 20 years. Before that, she grew up and was born and raised in the Far East. She can speak to that in a second.
Well, I've never known that. But yeah,
right.
Yeah.
No. You know, I think both of us, we've known each other, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
And we've both come up here a lot in the past. I've been coming to Boston. I'm from Jersey originally.
We had our first date in Gloucester.
Where was it?
Lobster is not here. We didn't know.
That's okay. Where'd you go?
Intershell.
No, it wasn't Intershell. It was somewhere.
Oh, that was it. But you bought lobsters and cooked them yourself.
No, we brought them back to Waltham.
We brought them back to Waltham.
We cook them here. We were here.
Oh, okay. I got you. I thought it was a restaurant.
No. It was somewhere. I think it was over here somewhere. It might have been you guys. Who knows? But yeah, so I was in Waltham 6 years, met 4 years ago, and just we've been coming here a lot. And like Aaron said, it's just a wonderful community. It's not as congested. It's more friendly than Boston. A lot of those, and obviously very coastal. And
the coast is definitely something.
The coast, yeah. I mean, it's a great.
The friendliness is. I mean, I just can't get over. I mean, how friendly people are here. I think it's fantastic.
Well, from New Jersey, I guess. But did someone live down in the southeast? Because they say the people down there are super friendly.
I was in Wilmington, North Carolina, for 4 years.
And those people are supposed to be super.
Yeah, it was very hospitable, friendly, nice community, nice. You know, different from the New England coastal, rocky. I mean, very different coast, the dunes, but you know. That being said, I had a taste of that, and I'm from Jersey, so I always went to the beach. The Jersey Shore is family for, you know, my entire life. So the ocean's the ocean. I mean, we all love it, and that's what brought us here as well.
Yeah. And how'd you find Good Morning Gloucester?
I don't know. I don't remember how we stumbled upon that. I think that because we were kind of up here. We were up here all the time. It made sense to move up here. I mean, we finally pulled the trigger.
I think we may have seen a sticker at a bar down here or something.
Maybe.
Because it's not that we searched on it for it.
It might have been one of your stickers.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Everybody's got a different
sticker. I've been on since the beginning. I've seen the transition.
When did you start, actually, GMG?
December 19th, 2007.
And you've been following it since then?
Yeah, it's very different.
Really?
Yeah, it is very,
very
different.
Different.
We need to talk about this.
That's a very
powerful Jesus. The way she's, all right.
Because
I have my feelings about what's good and bad about the difference that it is. And
it was a lot saltier.
Yeah.
In the beginning. And a lot more, like a lot of your photography and a lot of pictures of the guys here and some definitely saltier stuff.
Yeah. Well, the there's a couple reasons for that it isn't as salt. The politically correct police is just, I can't spend the energy to defend obvious sarcasm,
yeah.
obvious satire
oh,
to
yeah.
these people that take
no,
everything
I think it's,
so literally.
I think it's great now.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? I miss it.
I miss being able to. If you go back and look at like the 2007 through 2009.
Yeah.
Versus now.
Yeah, I miss it. I miss it. I wish I could get away with doing that. It's just it's too exhausting.
You have
defending.
Too many
meters
now.
Yeah, no, sure. It's exhausting because all it takes is a couple people rabble rousers that you know like, they know you joke. It's don't get me started.
They're too sensitive.
Huh?
They're too sensitive. Just take a joke.
They are too sensitive.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, I have a hard time with criticism, maybe.
What's the Roosevelt saying? It's about the man in the marina. It's not about the critics in the stadium pointing at you. It's about being in the arena and showing up. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're in there. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Keep on. Yeah.
Was there anything like of your, from your preconceived notions that are things that are very unique to Gloucester that to other communities that you've lived in?
No, I think maybe they answer the question this way, that meeting people and hearing about the history, obviously the history is long and storied and it's just a fabulous community and just generations and I mean 400 years and 9 years, right? That's a big event coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing the history, like we met a couple friends in Essex Friday night for drinks and they're from the area and talking about the old, in the 60s and 70s and 80s and obviously salty is a good word and it's a rough environment. You know, hearing all the stories is just, it makes it even more... more palpable for us because now we're here,
yeah.
but hearing the history and more history.
Downtown Gloucester 15, 20 years ago was a lot more gritty than it is
right
now.
That was the sentiment.
There was the White Rainbow, which is where Dog Bar is now,
okay.
was like mm-hmm. probably the only upscale restaurant
okay.
in
mm-hmm.
town.
Right.
I mean, there was like a couple, like, you know, you had the Gloucester House that was like, you know, fish and chips type mm-hmm. places and, you know, serving that kind of tourist food. But you didn't have like the upscale dining that you have now. There wasn't the Lone Gull, the Pleasant Street Tea and Coffee Company, where you can go down and like you know these meeting places. I think coffee. I think restaurants, breakfast joints, and coffee houses are the lifeblood of if you don't have those things,
right.
you don't have a killer community. Like you can't live in a town that doesn't have those things.
Right.
You know, like even Danvers. Like there's like a Brothers. You know the. Greek diner places,
right,
like
yeah.
like one of the only breakfast joints that
right.
they have. And that's a big town. Denver's
right.
is a good sized
right.
town.
Right.
And like, you're just like, oh, well, we're going to go to these, you know, these, what do you call it, corporate restaurants,
right.
you know, and stuff like that.
Chain restaurants.
Right. It's not all those points
is what you just said about all that stuff being here is why I hear people say we never leave the island. You don't have to. I mean, everything's here.
Right.
I mean, there's restaurants. Well, there's
okay.
beaches, restaurants,
yeah.
the breakfast, all that stuff is, I mean, it makes it a very self-sustained, just a really tight-knit, I mean, community events with this. It's just,
yeah.
you know,
oh, my
great.
God. The cultural
yeah.
stuff
right.
is just off
yeah.
the wall.
Can't wait to get involved with stuff.
Yeah. And Mr. Bean, you're the third leg of the couples, but with you're a couple less. You're without couple.
My wife, Jessica, couldn't be here. Yeah, yeah. We couldn't make it together. So she would be here. She says hello.
So what were some of your preconceived notions and what is completely different than what you, and it could be good or bad, like,
yeah.
you know.
I think we were pretty fortunate, you know, like, the thing that really helped us is when we found the blog, and so we kind of got a sense of people and what was going on. It was the best source to really know what was going on in the community, and so I think, for me, a big concern was like completely uprooting and moving to a new community. I was a little concerned. I was like, oh, what if
Have you ever done that before?
No.
Okay.
No, actually, yeah, because I grew up, we were both born in Medford, and then bought a place there and lived there, got married there, and then we decided we wanted to
wow.
move
yeah.
up here. So I think it was a little...
That's big, because
yeah.
that's a really big change.
Yeah, and it worked out
yeah.
great. And
yeah.
even with the blog and outside the blog, people we have met have been completely friendly, and everyone loves to live around here.
Take pride.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of pride.
Pride
there wasn't the as much pride, you know, 20 years ago
no.
as it is now. There would be people, like, from... like the, you know, the surrounding high, like more upper crust communities, you know what I mean? Like, that would continually take shots at Gloucester. If you're from Gloucester, like, oh, you're dating a guy from Gloucester. Right. He's, ooh, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. And now, like, those
you
same people.
That from high school, right, Sam? I said, Sam's mentioned stuff like that from high school. Like, oh.
There's always been a rivalry between Rockport and Gloucester.
Right.
Yeah, kind of like
that. It goes back for years. So, yeah.
And it's heightened, too, by the competition between the school sports teams
Of course.
Yeah.
But now, like, you see the people from, like, these towns like Manchester and stuff like that, and Tops, whatever, they are, especially in the summertime, they can't get enough of this place, you know?
Yeah.
And you see a lot of those people moving here, like that.
With the social media, you get a lot of mix, you know? You just quickly connect and you find out what's going on in Manchester, what's going on in Rockport, and all of a sudden, you know, it's easy to find things everywhere on KPM. It's nice.
So for the Rulies, what are some of your favorite parts? What are your favorite parts about Good Morning Gloucester?
My favorite parts about Good Morning Gloucester, I like knowing about the different community events that are going on. I don't have a subscription anymore to the Gloucester Daily Times, and you can't read it online. So Good Morning Gloucester is how I find out what's going on, because again, we're not here a lot. So it keeps me in the loop so that I can feel like I can talk intelligently about where I live and what's going on where I live, even if I can't go there. I love the food stuff. I'm one of those foodie type people, even though I don't like that word. So I love it when you try new restaurants and you let us know, like, you know, the new places. Like, I'm like, oh, there's a new burrito place in Rockport. And I'm like, oh, when's Joey going to get there? Because, like, I want you to try it first. That's like a vlog thing.
Oh, we just put that pizza place on.
Yeah, that Nicole did. That.
Yeah, it's Seaside Pizzeria, the new place in Rockport.
Have you eaten there?
We haven't.
No.
We haven't.
Good.
Again, I wait to see things on the blog. And if I don't see them on the blog, I'm kind of like, oh. And I like the pictures. I mean, the photography on the blog is just, it's amazing. The sunrise and the sunset, it's a nice reminder as to why, you know, you commute 4 hours a day.
I was gonna say the same thing. You know, you're here every day and you don't always see it. And because you're here, you see the same thing all the time, but then photography catches a certain moment that's beautiful.
The light.
And it reminds you how beautiful the area is. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. I grew up like just off of the back shore and going to school for 13 years, well, 15 years of my life. I would drive past the back shore from the very end, Grapevine Road, the whole back shore, to get anywhere in town. And never had an ounce of appreciation for it until I went away to college. And I was in Waltham,
right,
the concrete jungle.
Yeah.
And then I was like, holy Jesus, how lucky am I? You know, and then the light. And I try to impress upon, like, when I'm bringing my daughters to school, because they go to school in Hamilton, I said, when in the morning, usually the light is beautiful coming off off of the water, and I try to say to them, "You see this? See these waves right now? How cool these waves are! I see how that light is just the beams are coming through the cloud because it's mostly cloudy." But you know, just take note of that stuff instead of just driving right past it.
And I still like some of the silly stuff from the blog too. Like this summer, I just could not get enough of the White Ninja.
Oh yeah, White Ninja, like, Salisbury, yeah.
Yeah.
So Salisbury,
yeah,
that was.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff when it's on there, I'm like, yes, love it.
I know. I'm so busy at work right now. I don't have time to find those great stories as much, or go on my little rants like I like to. In the winter, you'll notice when I'm on vacation is when most of the rants like occur.
time to think and let it
fly a little bit, and I have the time to defend because the inevitable. Hypercritical people that are gonna
the backlash.
Like, yeah, the backlash. Because
Good Morning Gloucester got us back to Playa del Carmen.
Yeah.
Could you back to what?
Yeah. Playa del Carmen in Mexico.
Oh, Playa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We went there on our honeymoon 15 years ago.
Totally different now, right?
And so we decided to go back based on your
recommendation.
Vacation and
your
recommendation. So
I swear we put more money in people's pockets than anyone. I swear to God, like I hear that more time. We motivate people to go to places and stuff like that. More than, so the sheets.
Yes.
You take this one, Kimberly. He took the last one.
For forgetting the question. Sorry. What was the original question?
What is it? Do you follow Good Morning Glory, or
yes.
Bradley the one?
Yes. We both do. Yeah.
So what parts of the blog? Because everybody has a different thing. The music or the thing.
Yeah. I like the community events. I think it's fun to see what's coming and what, you know, things that we could do. I love the photography. I love Kim Smith, the butterflies. I've followed the whole Monarch butterfly series. And I remember saying to Bradley, I can't wait till next summer. I'm going to go help clean up.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Oh, my God. She could use some help.
Yeah,
I could
use some help.
I mean, that's stuff that I want to do that wasn't really available living in a place like Waltham. And again, we don't have kids either. And, you know, there weren't as many opportunities to join things previously where there seemed to be a lot here.
Yeah.
And Good Morning Gloucester provides, you know, information on that.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm proud of that. You know, it's funny. The Gloucester Daily Times has more news, like, you know, reporting and
good
news.
Reporting.
We don't generally do reporting. We do fluff and we do entertaining stuff. And you know, we break more restaurant news than anyone else by a mile.
Yeah.
But like the Gloucester Times is important to keep politicians honest. I say this all the time. But the press releases that no place puts forth the community events press releases like we do because the Times can't put PDF color PDFs of every community events thing. So we have the blog format is more conducive to that. They can't take up their space where they need to sell ads because we don't do this for money.
That's another thing. People always ask me how much I get paid contributing to Good Morning.
That's a silly question.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much. Jess, well, we're not Jessica Bean, Jessica Brand.
Jessica Brand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he's the Jessica, his wife.
I know, I'm like the oddball in the room because I'm.
No, Lucinda is also an oddball.
Oh, yes. Oh, good.
They're both oddballs. Yeah, they're not married.
No, I just, I don't live in Gloucester, so I'm totally coming in from a totally different conversation point here.
Mm-hmm.
Three years ago, I started the Dinner Dealer deck of cards with all the restaurants and the promotions to local restaurants, and it brings together owner-operated businesses and a fun little deck of cards for people to buy and, you know, I consider it a culinary tour of North Shore between Newburyport and Swampscott, Marblehead, and everywhere in between. So we're just about finishing up our third annual deck of cards, going to print on Monday, I hope, fingers crossed. Yeah. And I'm designing that as well. But what really I'm coming here to talk about is our event that we're sponsoring, or I'm helping put together with my friend Lauren. It's called the North Shore Food and Gift Emporium. And basically throughout all my travels to the North Shore, I've gotten to know local makers, they call them, businesses. we have an event that showcases local people that make their own food or find products for their livelihood. It's not a hobby. So like Atlantic Salt Works, for example, like will be a vendor at the show. And it's not a craft fair or a holiday event. It's purely just a celebration of local entrepreneurs that are passionate about their product, whether it's hot sauce or barbecue sauce or beef jerky.
Is it all food stuff?
It's like 80% food, 20% fine gifts. So like Beth Williams will be there with her glass jewelry and everything. And Rusty and Ingrid will be there with their prints
That's really cool.
And it's
at Willowdale.
I chose the Willowdale Estate because it's a historic venue, beautiful venue. I fell in love with it years ago when I just walked through the building on a random occasion and knew that it was it'll create more intimate setting versus a big hall or an expo type venue. It's more welcoming and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's free.
What's the date?
Yeah,
it's free. Right?
It's Sunday, November 23rd. It's a Sunday right before Thanksgiving. So like what we're trying to do is encourage people to come in and almost build like gift. You can kind of assemble a gift basket like with jams or with some chocolates from Harbor Sweets in Salem. Like,
cool.
And really just kind of build a nice little...
Do you have a website where we can direct people for information?
I actually got the domain, NorthShoreEmporium.com. It has an event there. Linked to our Facebook event. Well, I'm revealing all the vendors one by one. Local vendors and...
You're right. Thank you, Kim.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, yeah. We'll link to that. Thanks. I'm gonna bring up one more thing. Amanda just came in. my niece Amanda. What's going on with the duck outfit?
I didn't know you were in the middle. Yeah, we didn't know you were doing an important podcast. She was gonna come.
We always do a podcast at 8:45 on Sunday mornings.
An important podcast.
I didn't know it was important. We didn't know.
They're all important.
Well,
what's the difference?
Well, so, we didn't know you had other guests here. We thought.
Well, you don't read the blog apparently because we talk about it all week long. We're gonna have this special.
No, I haven't.
But that's cool. Tell me what
the outfit.
Tell me what's going on.
Well, I thought I got this for Halloween with my friends.
And is it a seagull?
No, it's an ostrich, but we could use them as seagulls.
But she thinks we could turn them into seagulls for the parade, so she wanted to show you.
I think we could totally turn that into a seagull. Awesome. I think we could. I agree with you 100%. I'm all in on that.
So she was giving, and it even has the hat, the fisherman hat.
It's fantastic.
Excellent.
I am so
proud of
you. So
get ready, because we're ordering you one. Yeah. We're glad you like it.
Have a good podcast.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sorry. No, thank you.
I hope your
That's awesome.
Stuff gets fixed.
So the homie just, Amanda just came in with a silly thing.
Silly costume.
Silly costume.
I thought it was like a turkey.
That could have been any number of birds.
Definitely an ostrich.
I was going to get a quail. Ostrich,
yeah. A whale?
Quail.
There you go, quail, another one, yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, Amanda, out of nowhere.
The fisherman hat really made it,
I think. Yeah. But the food emporium, I love, the food emporium is going to be a cool thing, but I love the dinner dealer deck that Jessica does and her husband. It's these decks that they, how many cards are in the deck?
You do it every 50. Year, right?
50? 50 cards.
Yeah, we're refining to 50 this year.
So 50 cards, all like the best restaurants on the North Shore. And literally, there are certain cards on the deck that have discounts for, like, so it's 20 off of 50 at where?
Yeah, Foreign Affairs.
Okay. So you use one of these cards. Like, is Cape Ann Brewing still in it?
Yep.
And what is their one?
Because they're 20 off of 50. Well, the pub at Cape Ann Brewing.
Yeah, 20 off of 50. So you go there with a buddy. You're gonna hold $50 worth of food. You use the card. It pays for the deck just about. And the second card, you're in the green.
Well, actually, what's good this year is, you know, remember the freebie coupons? We'd be like, have a free whoopie pie or a free ice cream at Goodies and Danvers. We have 5 freebies this year. And the savings of that is already more than the $25.
Wow. Yeah. They're as far as gifts, like stocking stuffers or gifts to have on hand for when you don't have gifts and someone shows up with a gift.
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing better than having these already in a little gift bag with some little tissue. Yeah. And you, like, go in the back room like you're pooping or something. And then, write, XYZ from Jessica. Boom, here you go. Hey, I had this already for you.
Guilty. I have done that twice.
Of course you've done it.
I have the inventory in my back office.
Of course you've done it. No brainer insurance policy gifting. This is the dinner
Give it to a babysitter.
Yes.
It's I like dog walker. That's a great dog walker or teacher gift. Yeah. I like that.
It's tremendous.
I like that.
A lot of realtors are buying it for their clients.
Nice. That's great.
So,
and it's a fundraiser for
like for Kim, someone who's new to the area.
They are no brainers. Lucinda Siegel's here.
Seigel.
Jesus. Really? Is it a different?
It's like K-L-E-I-N in Winsett Clean.
There you go.
It's one of those strange names.
So Lucinda, you were you at the thing Thursday night for Peter Todd?
I was. I was one of the organizers. Those of you who don't know, Peter Todd is the poet laureate of Gloucester, current poet laureate of Gloucester. And unfortunately, he's contracted pancreatic cancer. And this is apparently his fourth cancer that he's had in being three. So, but this particular situation has left his family with both crushing debts and just exhaustion. You have to drive into Boston and then do the thing and then come back. So at the same time, a couple of friends and I had won a contest at Rob Newton's Cape Ann Cinema. Last Oscar night, we guessed the most categories, the winner of the most categories. And as a result, we won two the right to have two different parties at Cape Ann Cinema, and they were supposed to be curated on it. So one of them, we did the last night of the block party, we did for seniors. And seniors came and they had food and goodies, and it turned out to be great. But this one, we were trying to find a worthy cause, and we went, wait a minute, this is probably it. So the event had food, Carla Barbera pizza. It was excellent, absolutely fabulous.
Surfside pizza. Surfside. Very good pizza. Yeah.
Very good pizza. Yeah. And then Mark McDonough contributed a big wheel of sushi and a couple of other people. So we had the food, and then Cape Ann. Does everybody know where Cape Ann Cinema is? It's at the bottom. So that was great. Rob had a movie called The Source, which is a story of the poets and the Beat Generation.
Oh, cool.
That was very, very cool. And what was really wonderful is it wasn't packed. I'd say there were 40 to 50 people there, but it was all so nice. Yeah. The city council had put together a proclamation,
nice.
You know, commenting on what a gift Peter's been to the city. Rufus Collinson, who was the previous poet laureate, was there, and she read some of the poems. And then John Ronan, who's been forever, was previous poet laureate, and he read some poems. And Peter, if you didn't know, Peter drove a cab. And still does occasionally, and he writes between fairs. So occasionally, I mean, he'll probably give you a poem if you're taking a cab. So many people have these little poems. Melissa Cox had one, and she read hers, and that was just really, really emotional. Helen Garland. Peter had written one for her husband. Is it
Joe?
It is another Joe. And she read that, and that was also very emotional. Carolyn Kirkmayer read a poem also. It was just one of those nights where everybody sort of ended up knowing each other because of the event, and it was just such a warm room that with people talking to each other, and in a way it was a sad occasion, but on the other hand it was extraordinary.
Celebration.
Successful. It was a celebration.
There you go. Celebration of love.
Very good night. Very, very wonderful, and the people that were there were
all aces.
All Hartford.
All Gloucester people.
Mm-hmm. Gloucester people, yeah. Exactly.
Fantastic.
Very Hartford.
Well, thank you for that.
Is there something coming up Thursday?
Thursday for more poetry, I know for sure that Peter and Rufus are going to read at the Gloucester Library, which those readings I think are like 7-ish. You can check on that. But it will be Thursday night, the 13th.
We posted a flyer last night.
Yeah,
so
the information's on the blog for sure.
Yeah.
It's up on the blog already.
It's on the blog already.
Yeah. So you can check that. Did everybody vote? Who voted?
Of course.
Yeah. Wow, all voted. Yeah. Very good, very good. the ballot question that absolutely shocked me, blew me out of the water. Do you guys know that the expand the bottle bill thing, that it was 72% no on that? And I thought for sure. That it was going to it would have been the opposite, flip-flop, that it would have been 72% would have voted two. And, I just thought that that's the way it was going to go.
Well, from what I understand, millions upon millions were poured in.
Oh, you go with this.
But also it's an off year. I wish it would come in 2 years when people are voting for the president. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry for interrupting you. Okay. Make your point, though, because I interrupted you.
Oh, well, no, I feel like millions and millions and millions of dollars were poured in by the bottle industry, who didn't want to see this go through with negative advertising, and I think they really framed the question. And I hope it comes up again in 2 years, personally.
I think with that big of an overwhelming thing, loss on that, I don't think that the millions that they poured in was the determining factor.
It was very powerful.
I think it may have been powerful, but I don't think 72% powerful.
Only 1/3 of the electorate voted also. So that's,
but
that's not, I mean, that's not typical. In a presidential cycle,
gotcha.
You get a lot more young people, a lot more
progressive people.
A lot more progressive people voting. So that's
interesting.
Just, you know.
I was shocked at that because to me, that if you're already charging for the cans, why wouldn't you do for the juice bottles?
We were talking about this last week, and as we were talking, and then you had to go downstairs, and I looked out the window, and right below were three plastic Gatorade bottles just floating in the water. I mean, it was just like
get picked up. Like, you know, see the thing, Frank Schellino, who, I love Frank Schellino, but his thing was like, I recycle already, why should I get punished?
Right.
And my devil's advocate to that was that you admit if there is the tax on it, it will get picked up.
Absolutely.
Like, it'll get picked up by bums or just industrious people, whatever. But it does get picked up.
It does get picked up.
I mean, we live on Thatcher Road, and we do that drive how many times a week from our house right near the Rockport line, past Good Harbor Beach, past Shaw's, you know, down to the Stop and Shop. Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds of those Poland Spring bottles.
Yeah.
Right.
It does.
And no one picks
so
them
disturbing.
Up.
Yeah. Okay, you know how it seems like every week I have a little bit of a little rant, a mini rant.
Here we go.
I got a little mini rant. So a friend took me out for dinner the other night, and we come with the take to go thing, and gonna cook it the next day, heat up the leftovers the next day. I don't understand the rationale behind a to-go container made out of aluminum, tin foil,
right.
Like with a tin that you flap up, you know, there's paper on the top, but you can't microwave it.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are going to take these things to work and throw it in the microwave at work.
Smarts.
You know, I mean, so...
Can people microwave? I don't have a microwave. Can you microwave in styrofoam?
Yes, it's not advised.
Paper's the best.
But like,
is the
thought process? Let's put the food that this person wants to reheat in the microwave tomorrow to something that will either blow up, catch fire, or make the person that wants to eat dirty. Yeah, it's just.
Can't they put it in a? Can't you put it in a separate container? Like for me, I hate it when you go and there is a styrofoam container. A lot of places have cardboard containers now. So
do you not get that? That's the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
Why are they purchasing to-go containers that are tin that can't be microwaved as opposed to
paper
plastic
be,
or paper or styrofoam?
I think it's a little old school because everybody used to put it in their oven. And you can't put paper or styrofoam in your oven, but you can put the aluminum in your oven.
Sam Rooley going outside the box on me right there.
He's engineering.
engineering on
this. You can put it on the ballot next time with the bottle bill again. So you have the bottle bill and you have the styrofoam.
The best takeout containers are the Willow Rest because she's got those nice recyclable kind of paper. Cardboard ones.
Oh, but they're really sturdy, right?
But
yeah,
they're
very sturdy.
Can they go in the microwave?
Is there anything that the people at the Willow Rest do that is not spot on, like over the top perfect?
Yeah, that's a great place.
Just nail it.
They really do.
We need that in East Gloucester. Can we just
Willow Rest in East
say goodbye to like those people over there in North Gloucester and then come over here in God's country and open. Please.
Yes, we'll promote you.
We will promote
we'll
the
promote you.
Shit out of you.
That brings up an element of Gloucester that I bet people that are newbies is the territorial elements to it in the within Gloucester itself. Like, I mean,
West East.
Yeah, like there's some delineation happening within Gloucester.
Oh, it's happened for years.
Yeah.
You're an East Gloucester kid, you're a downtown kid, you're a West Gloucester kid, you're a Magnolia kid. Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, that's a preconceived thing. Like, I figured, you know, Gloucester is a small, tight-knit community, but then once you're living in there or you're becoming, you know, more involved in the community, you start to kind of catch wind of these little like, innuendos. Like, oh, well, they're over in East Gloucester. Like, what's East Gloucester? it's all east. That's one thing that I think, you know, in terms of going back to your initial beginning conversation, but continue with your rant, though.
Willow Resto, they're also in the dinner deal.
They are in the dinner deal deck. Oh. Yes, Melissa's been with me since day one.
Boom. And how much is theirs one for?
10 out of 30, and it's only for the prepared foods that go in the to-go containers. So if you're smart...
You see that segue right there? You see that? You're tremendous. You come on anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime.
You plan ahead. You go in and get your food. You can't use it towards the grocery, but certainly feel free to shop there.
Only prepared... What about, like, dining there? You can't...
Well, you can dine there. Oh, yeah, okay, absolutely. Yeah, okay. There's tables there. But what I was going to suggest was... plan ahead on a nice day, go get your food to go, and go have a picnic at Halibut Point.
Oh,
boom. There's
Halibut
nice
Point is one of the coolest
rendezvous
places ever.
How do I get a dinner deal?
Yes.
Where do I get
it?
I know.
No, you get it right. You can just go. Listen, easy enough. Google dinnerdealer.com to get it direct right from the source.
Okay. Yes, yeah. I'll have the decks, God willing.
The new ones.
By in time for the Emporium. The new ones.
You got your fingers crossed for that?
Yeah, I'm a typical artist. I wait till the last minute for everything.
Oh, jeez, yeah, well, that happens.
But it took me 3 weeks to get all the restaurants, which is great. Like, yeah, the first year took 6 months.
Wow. Well, yeah, once you get, it's probably easy to sell the second
yeah,
time.
Yeah, over 80% of the restaurants renewed from last year.
That's
yeah
tremendous.
Yeah, and they get the whole concept.
We didn't ask Rich about what he likes about the blog.
But we did last week when the 100th episode he spoke about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to add though that I wish I had mentioned before the music listings that were huge for me. Mm. Like there's a huge music community here on KPN, and so like the Vanessas and Joanne Silva have awesome listings. Like any week if you like music, you can look on there any day of the week, and you
every
have
day,
like yeah
there's always a show or something.
Always
yeah,
yeah. And a lot of them are free. You just if you go in to have a
most
dinner,
of them
dinner,
I
yeah
would say.
Yeah, and then there's ones that you can pay for that are still amazing.
Yeah,
you
yeah
don't have to go into Boston for it. You can just go to Beverly or
Yeah, Lockham Theater. Yeah. The Vanessa is doing some really cool things.
So that's like an amazing asset. It's just the music in this area.
Do you guys... we put this little funky... I just saw this video. I thought it was funky, but I, you know, thinking about it, I was mostly on the side of eliminating pennies. Were you guys following the whole penny thing? You guys, do you guys feel like you should? Do you guys? Oh, just finished up. Okay, hold on 1 second. Jessica's husband Dennis just showed up with the baby.
Yeah.
He was sleeping in the car.
I took a nap with him.
Did you really? That's a solid move.
It's probably the best sleep I've gotten since Friday.
There is no shame. There is no
sleep
shame
when the baby there sleeps.
Yeah. Just pull over, take a little thing. The baby's a good baby, well behaved, huh?
Oh yeah, it comes from good stock on the mom's side, obviously.
Oh, there you go. Very nice.
What
very
a beautiful
nice
baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, the dinner dealer gets him young, you know. Now we got him. As soon as he's starting to walk, so he's going to go out handing out decks.
There you go. So we're talking about pennies. Where do you fall, Dennis, on pennies? Should we eliminate pennies, or is there still a need for pennies?
Oh, it actually costs more to produce the penny than it's worth, so it's worth getting rid of.
So, okay, that's where you fall. Kimberly Sheets.
I understand that point. That makes sense, but I do like the penny.
You like it? Okay, so what?
I don't use it.
No, no. Okay, so what are you liking about it? You like looking
like
at them
look
in a jar?
I like to on the penny. I like to find them on the ground and make a wish with them, throw them in a fountain.
All right.
Put them on the train tracks.
Is
I haven't done that in a while.
You probably can, you're probably responsible for train derailers. You're like a big time murderer.
Yeah.
Kimberly Sheets with us today. Thank you for that. Give kids other ideas about derailing trains. Good contribution right there. Solid. What about you?
I think in the past they were more utilized and necessary, and obviously, you know, the history, but I agree with your point with, I mean, now they may be more obsolete. I don't think we need them, and they're kind of wasteful in a way. It's a waste of money to produce them, and so I'm anti. Maybe in the past I would have been pro as necessary or more relevant, but now...
I'm going to give one of the arguments for keeping them. One of the arguments that someone said was on taxes, on everything, they're going to do you think they're going to round down? They're not going to round
gonna
down.
Round
they're going to round
yeah,
up,
that's true,
is what
down
they said.
There's going to be no 0.0625% Massachusetts sales tax. It'll go up to 10%, right?
Well, you already 10%. Have an odd thing then, so why would it make any difference?
Because you can make change with pennies.
How can you make 0.625 change? Tell me how that works.
No, when it's .625.
I think you're in a mousetrap.
And then it goes like up to say it's $1.03, right? And that makes sure then you give 2 cents in change.
Wait, say the 625 thing again.
.0625 is the Massachusetts sales tax. Correct?
Okay.
Right.
So they go to 7.
Right.
They go to 7 right now. So they're already rounding up.
I'm
like McDonald's, you get a 99-cent hamburger at McDonald's.
I'm afraid they're going to go to
10. Huh?
I'm afraid they're going to go to 10. If they go to 7, if they're already going
but
to...
But if they were going to round up, they already have to round up 0.625, right? They have to round that. They can't do 6.625. They have to round.
If it's 0.625...
Oh, I see, because they could go from 0.625 to 7 instead of going to 10. That's your point.
Right.
Okay, I get you.
Right.
All right, that's legit.
Right.
Rich Bean, where are you at?
I feel like I'm not informed. I didn't watch the video. So in the past, I would have been like, I kind of agree. If it takes more money to make the pennies, it doesn't make sense. But then I also thought, well, what about all the people that don't have debit cards and things like that that have to pay in cash across the country? You know, sometimes it's easy to think that everyone uses a debit card, but that's probably not true. And then that's a really good point, is I bet that would be a very good opportunity for some people with bad intentions to make a lot of money. To suddenly get rid of the penny and round up, you know, because then you're talking millions across the country.
You're talking you're talking 10%.
Someone would take advantage of that.
Right. Our state tax would go from, if you can't make change with pennies, our sales tax would go up.
Another point to get rid of them is you're not going to rob a bank to ask for $1 million in pennies.
Yeah.
You walk around with 100 grand.
Lucinda, you got any? She's falling asleep over there. She's exhausted. Did I catch you sleeping?
No.
Very entertaining podcast right there. Listen to this again.
Yeah, that's how I'm thinking that that looks like I'm sick. You know, what do you think? The nickel will then become the new penny?
Most likely. Yeah. I mean, the value of the penny now has no value at all. I mean, how many times do you see people just chuck it?
My take on the penny is that I think I can't stand the pennies because, like, I don't want change in my pocket because I feel like it's going to scratch my cell phone screen. That's entirely my argument is I don't want pennies that could potentially scratch my cell phone screen.
Most modern economies don't even go that low. I mean, if you go to Europe, for example, I think the lowest they go is like maybe 10, 25 cents or something like that. I mean,
25 duples?
Yeah.
Is worth
exactly. So
25 duples is worth .0000001 penny.
I also like having seen President Lincoln on the pennies also. So.
Yeah.
Well, you can keep them as like a collectible item. You just don't have to print any mint anymore.
Yeah.
You can make
I honestly think the mint would probably save like close to $100 million a year or something like that if they stop producing the penny.
I'm a fan of getting rid of pennies. I just think they're a big pain in the ass.
They are.
And I don't mind, like the convenience factor for the amount of transactions I do a day, if I had to round up 97 cents to a dollar to not deal with pennies, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I might do 2 transactions. Oh, that baby.
That baby is beautiful.
What's the baby's name?
Emerson.
Emerson.
Oh, that's right. I love that name.
Oh.
Is Emerson, and it's not hot right now?
Well, apparently it sort of is, because of the mom's group at the hospital. There were 3 Emersons in the room.
Bastards.
A girl and 2 boys.
Shut
the front door. Come on.
That's what happened with my daughter.
I gotta use that.
All my friends think we named him Emerson because I went to Emerson College. So we all got together.
Yeah.
Did it have anything to do with
it? No. Jess is the one that brought it. I was actually really resistant to it when she first brought it up. Because I was like, everyone's going to think I'm naming my son after my college. Because I always talk about how much I love college. I've been at it for 10 years. I still would rave about it, like, you know, every other day.
Everyone has those feelings about
college. So I got together with, like, all my buddies for, like, a wedding, like, a couple months ago. They're like, that's so cool. You named your son after school. I was like, I didn't. They're like, ah. Oh.
How about John McElhenney named his son Dax after Dax Shepard on the show with, what's his name?
Parenthood?
No, Dax. No, he was with what's the guy's name? Ashton Kutcher's show.
Oh.
Punked, yeah. Dax Shepard. I love the one syllable names. That's such a beautiful baby. So, here's a question. It's a geeky technology thing. Does anybody here use rechargeable batteries?
Not anymore.
No.
I mean,
not anymore. So you used them at one time and you went away from them.
Well, I mean, there's no need to now because everything is, you plug in and it just recharges instantly, like your iPhones or your iPads.
Oh, no. No. You haven't been a father long enough to understand the battery hell that you're about to come into.
I remember using rechargeable batteries like in like the late 80s and early 90s, but I honestly can't even imagine using them anymore. I haven't used them in over a decade.
Oh, that's interesting. When Emerson ends up having 15 toys after Christmas,
and he's already got too many,
and they each require $75 worth of batteries.
You may rethink your screwdriver to get them in there.
You may rethink.
I do that with one hand. And
see, batteries are expensive.
They are.
They have these. So the technology, I guess, has come a long way. There's this company called Panasonic makes this Eneloop Power Pack. And it comes with 8 AA's, 2 AAA's, 2 C's, 2 D's, and you can buy extras for your, and it comes with a charger, and it's $49.
Wow. Oh, that's a deal.
And they're rechargeable, they say they're rechargeable for like 2,000 cycles, some ridiculous thing. Wow. Out of 5 stars on Amazon, wow, it gets like 5 stars.
Every parent
out of 2,000 reviews.
Yeah, are you going to put a link to that on there?
Well, Dennis apparently says it's a stupid idea.
No, I haven't thought about rechargeable batteries. This is the most I've talked about it probably in 10 years.
I agree. I don't think people normally talk about it, but it's intriguing to, you know, you have kids and they have toys. Like, you have to buy stupid.
Well, he's only
of
7 months old, so.
Right.
But, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, he does have a lot of things that have batteries
in. So what do you think on a normal Christmas, like, y'all going to spend on? Like, I'm going to guarantee you, one Christmas comes,
well,
y'all going to spend.
First one will be next month.
You're going to spend $50 on batteries. So that's the cost of this thing.
Well, then I should get it.
There you go. Sales.
Anything that will save me a few bucks. Absolutely.
Sales. ABC. Always be sales.
Yeah, you should get that Amazon affiliate link so that way anyone that clicks on that.
That'll work out. That'll work out.
Or another, they call it an ambassador.
Can you believe these Brother Brews? Can you believe these Brother Brew people? I have pimped these goddamn bacon donuts 15 times. I've sent them the links to the post involving the bacon donuts, and they do not acknowledge my tweets. They do not retweet my tweets. They do not like my Facebook posts with their bacon donuts.
You sound like Sam Hyde.
Okay, Jessica.
You sound a little bitter about it.
I am. I'm very bitter.
But you love them, and I bring them, and then
I love them. I devour them. I fall asleep afterwards from the coma that I'm gonna be in. But I don't understand the rationale behind the, like, they're young people and they don't retweet the goddamn thing, and they have a Twitter account. God damn it!
Whenever I am there, it is. Are they updating their Twitter account constantly? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know, but they get the little email saying this person tweeted about you.
Yeah. True. But when I go there,
maybe it's a dummy account.
Mrs. Brackett is there, and she's like, you know, 60s plus, working very hard behind the counter, and I don't know if she follows Twitter. You know what I mean?
It's Brothers Brew. It's the kids. It's the son's place.
I think mostly old people working there. So.
I don't know. Jessica Brand.
Yes.
If we put something on for your dinner deal, do you just, and I send you the link, do you just ignore it, or do you retweet?
No, cheat.
No, never.
Are you in business?
Yeah. Oh.
So what would be the rationale to not retweet when someone does a thing saying these things are the greatest thing you've ever had in your entire life? Or if I say something about the dinner dealer saying it's such a stupid no-brainer because you use it once and it pays for itself, and you know, to have the instant gift that you didn't think about when the person shows up in the gift bag ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, why would you like not share that with your social media?
Maybe they just forget. Like, it's oh, this is really great. Let me, you know, I'll do this. I'll take care. I'll retweet it tomorrow or something, and then they forget. Who knows? I wouldn't warp it into a.
Can you tell them? Can you tell them frustrated?
Yes, I will.
Can you read that on my face?
Yes,
that I'm frustrated.
And yes, I can, and I will mention it to them personally next time I'm in there. Just say.
They're gonna say, "What a pain in the ass!"
You're leading on to the point that, like, it. There's a personal element to social media engagement. Like,
yes.
There's a person behind it,
right?
And we forget that.
Right.
Like, it's
delete your account. If you're not, this is, I mean, we are giving you a softball. We are giving you the pitch to Big Poppy in the middle of the plate. We're throwing it underhand.
It's funny you're talking about this as you're eating your donut.
I can't help myself. The donuts are so good.
Yeah.
Look at
that.
He is such a beautiful baby.
Oh, look at that.
Happy baby.
Smile. Very happy baby. Wow. Yeah. So we're all going to get together for dinner. Okay. You know, so it was this, you think this, because you guys, the Beans, like, you're in the community, but, like, I know you guys work out of town, right? They work out of town. The Rulies work out of town. You guys are not from Gloucester. You think it's would be a nice thing to get together and meet some other couples?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
we would be absolutely.
Are you up for that?
Yep.
All right.
Sweet idea. Awesome.
Can we leave baby with a babysitter? So it's going to be a night amongst adults?
Yes.
Nah. Lucinda will take care of the baby. Okay.
Or me. I'll hold her.
I was the chief babysitter for many years.
That's a beautiful baby. Aww. Not for nothing.
I mean, look at that smile. I sent you a nice picture last week and I'll resend it for.
Oh, yeah. We got to put that on. All right.
I took a nice group picture.
Well, this is a nice podcast. Thanks you guys for coming
thank
in.
You. Thank you.
Thank you.
Another Gloucester cast, people.
Another Gloucester cast.
In the books.
Yep. Great. Woo.